Blog Talk Radio.
Where is my promo music? I see it's nowhere. Oh, jeez, here we go. We're going to play this.
The tax office can take money directly out of people's accounts, but you're not allowed to know. The government can approve the terms for huge sales of agricultural land to foreign companies, but you're not allowed to know. The media cannot investigate cover-ups if the government says you're not allowed to know. Couldn't happen in Australia? It's happening now. When the government hides the truth from you, what are they covering up? Authorised by Australia's Right to Know, Sydney.
I think that's probably one of the best public service announcements I've heard in quite some time. Good evening, everybody. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network, and God help us, I hope we can stay on air tonight. Before we get to our guests, of course, we got our friends from Australia on, got a lot to talk about there. Want to talk just a little bit about what's going on here in the States. We've got another fluff and buff bill coming out called S-591, and God knows what kind of a title. They got it under the Elder Protection, and we're going to send them all to Heaven Act. I don't know what the hell it is. But the federal government here has made it very plain that guardianship, conservatorship, is handled at the state level. Now, what does that mean to you? It means that the feds aren't going to do a damn thing to stop this train that's rolling over the elderly people in this country. Now then, why is that? Because they currently owe Social Security, our money we invested in our retirement, and they're trying to call it an entitlement now, like it's welfare. No, this is money we invested over 50, 60 years of working. They've used $4 trillion of that to launch these wars, starting back in the Johnson administration with the Vietnam War and right up through Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, the whole nine yards. They're taking our retirement money to do this. When they passed the Obamacare Affordable Health Care Act, which was anything but, they took $716 billion out of Social Security and Medicare to fund this program that does not work. It is absolutely horrendous. And yes, they did set up death panels in it, and we call it hospice. And now we have ethics panels at the hospitals. People who have no ethics, compassion, sympathy, but they do get a big fat paycheck, get to decide whether or not your life is worth living. And if they decide no, boom, you're gone. We've got the state of Texas with the 10-day rule. You come in there, if they decide at the end of 10 days you aren't worth trying to save, they pull the plug. Do you see what's happening here? And yet we have this yet another bill coming out that some of these activists or so-called activists are bragging, oh, we got another wonderful bill. This bill has no teeth. There is no crime cited. There is no punishment. There is no penalty. There's no enforcement. Who is to do that enforcement? What does the crime consist of? None of that is in there. There are suggestions to the states to enact new statutes. Yes, we need a bunch more of those, because we see how effective those are. Nobody pays any attention to them unless they can be used against us. So what else? Well, they're going to set up a guardian council, a task force. Yeah, because we hadn't got but maybe 20, 30,000 documented cases at the very least. Court records, everything. So let's set up a task force to study it. That ought to take another 10 to 20 years. But we're not going to federally fund it because the federal government won't get in this. No, no, no. We are going to make grant money available. So guess who's going to set up these councils? It's going to be the bar associations, the guardianship association, the elder law attorneys, the nursing home associations, who are all going to get grant money. And guess what's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing. This thing is going to keep rolling. As we've talked about in shows previous to tonight, this has got to be done in the states. You have got to fight it on the state level. You've got to organize in the state and go after your state legislators to make them change this and stop it. But so many of them are sucking at the teat of the Bar Association and the Nursing Home Association, the Guardianship Association, and the pharmaceutical companies and the Physicians Association We don't stand a rat's chance in a decom box, but I say get up and fight anyway. I'd rather go out fighting on my feet than on my knees begging for my life. And that's just me. But anyway, all that having been said, let's move on to our guest this evening. Now, we've talked with our friends in Australia several times before, and things have been quite busy over there. And since they have exposed so much of what's going on, partially through these shows, but also through community meetings and other avenues, apparently the government has gotten a little bit scared, and they're ramping things up. With that, I'm going to turn this over to our first guest, and why don't you announce yourself, Miss Thing, and let us know who you are.
Hello. Hello, Matt.
Go ahead.
Hello, Marty.
Yes.
Hi, it's Chris. How are you?
I'm good. How are you
How
doing?
Are you? Thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your audience, for listening in. And we have had many issues raised in the last month or so, and it's been quite entertaining to watch and scary at the same time. And we are seeing what you've just described is basically what's happening in Australia. It is no different. It's pretty much spot on. At a state level, we're seeing this rolling out of so-called elder abuse reporting, which is nothing but a sham. And it's quite scary to see our attorney generals from both parties actually promoting what's called elder abuse reporting, but they're not telling the public what's after that, what happens after you actually report. Equally disturbing is legislation that recently passed in South Australia. Now, Chris Jenkinson has been discussing this with me for a while and to others, and he was really stressing how dangerous this legislation was, and I decided to have a look at it, and he was pointing it all out to us, and I was absolutely gobsmacked at this legislation. What can actually happen now in South Australia, that basically a public servant without a warrant, without a court order, can kick in the door based on a suspicion, just a suspicion, and take over. They can enter a premises, they can remain in that premises, they can inspect that premises, they can remove evidence without a warrant, no police, just a public servant that's been part of this elder abuse or older unit reporting group, and they can come in and they can basically take over a loved one's affairs, and all they need to prove is that that person is vulnerable. And when you look at the legislation, and the devil is always in the detail, when you look at that legislation, it is so scary. I mean, I call this the Gestapo law, because that's basically what it is. They can just kick down your door, take over your life. And when you look at the legislation, what they've done in there, it's actually, I can't believe this actually passed through, you know, the state of South Australia. Well, I'm not surprised really in South Australia, but I'm actually quite scared that this actually passed. And it's going to roll out in all the other states. And it actually gives public servants excessive powers. Kick in the door, come in and take over your life. And the appeals process, if you go to a court, well, as you'll see in one of the sections, they basically can ignore evidence, determine as they think fit, and now beyond all reasonable doubt has been removed, and they now assess on the balance of probabilities. Now, who assesses that? Well, that's really it hasn't really been explained. You can go anywhere. It goes into the tribunals. Once you're in there, we know the rest, and we know that history. So it's quite scary. And they've ramped up this particular, well, they've passed this legislation. They found advocates. And it's interesting what you said about advocates. They find mum and dads in the community who are genuinely passionate about elder abuse. And then they twist these people. They don't tell them what the legislation really is. And they twist it and they turn it. And they promote this, you know, fuzzy, warm feeling of safety and an illusion of we're doing something right. And these activists aren't aware of it because they haven't been told the details of this legislation. And that's what's quite dangerous. And then you see elder abuse reporting, please report elder abuse. Well, no one knows that once you report elder abuse in Australia, that person more than likely will become a ward of state, lose their basic human rights. Whether they're thrown in, capacity assessments are just a joke in this country, and more or less their estate is seized. So they become a victim again. It's horrible, horrible stuff.
Yeah, I'm just getting messages here. We have no audio on air again tonight. So hopefully this show in archive. I tell you, this has been such a disaster for the last month on Blog Talk. I don't know what we're going to do. But there
I'll just check to see if it is, because I've got the internet here, so I could actually tell you one moment. But it is, look, I think there's something going on, clearly, with a lot of, I've noticed as well with the communications lately, we've had problems as well. So, look, I don't know if it's, I'm not going for the, you know, I'm not talking conspiracy theories. I think it's, oh, no, it's live. I can hear it. So I think
You can hear the show?
Yeah, I can, yeah. Yes, I can.
Okay.
I can hear it on the internet, so that's okay. The only reason I haven't got that on is for feedback reasons, so... look, with this legislation is quite scary, and they are ramping it up. And your promo, your introduction, it was like you were describing Australia. There was no difference. So clearly this particular model is being ramped up all over the world via state governments. It's quite clear. You've got the activists that they find in the community, the so-called activists. You've got these guardianship boards that are created, these committees that are created. Interestingly, you have the law societies involved as well. I always see that. I see that the Law Institute everywhere is involved in all of this. They write this up. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous. And I think we need to... Look, I don't blame the media. I think this really needs media input, because the only way we can get this out is to expose. I know when I speak to certain journalists, and I have, you can almost see in their eyes, they think we're crazy, I think. And there is an element of that. You can actually understand that. I don't dismiss their views. At the New South Wales meeting that we had, many people have come up with theories that some would say were left. You know, of centre, really out there, but they're not, because if you really look at it, what we're really dealing with when we talk about, you know, why this is happening and how it's happening, what's really happening is common law is being eroded, the rule of law, and we're moving towards the rule of statute. It is in effect, we're being run like a business. So those protections that common law afforded all of us in America and Australia and so on, that is all slowly going, and we're now the rule of statute's taking over. And you see that in the legislation. I'm not a lawyer, but any lawyer, and my lawyer friends have told me, they're putting in clauses like, you know, ignoring evidence. Well, evidence is vital. Evidence is the key, the rule of law, the tenement that you need. So they're taking out all these protections, and then they insert this legislation. I mean, you've got this particular one. It's called the Office of the Aging (brackets) Adult Safeguarding Amendment Bill. It sounds nice. It sounds
doesn't
really
it
nice
sound,
and
yes.
comforting, doesn't it?
Oh,
oh
yes.
Look, we're being saved. And then you read it. I mean, they've overridden the United Nations Convention for Rights of People with Disabilities. So they've overridden that. They've made their own convention. And what's really scary, the meaning of all you need in this legislation is to prove that the person is vulnerable and that there's a suspicion. Now, that happened in the 1940s as well. There were a lot of suspicions there. So you look at this legislation, and an adult person will be taken to be a reference to be an adult person who, by reason of age, ill health, disability, social isolation, dependence on others or other disadvantages, is vulnerable to abuse. Now, if you really look at that, if someone's close to their daughter, well, that would be seen as a sign of dependence. Well, that defines that person as a vulnerable person, ergo the door gets kicked down by a public servant. Reason of age. Well, no one's really defined age. So anyone over the age of 18 can be deemed vulnerable under this legislation. Social isolation. Well, if you don't want anyone in your life and you have capacity, well, you have a right to that, to live like that. Well, that's a justification in South Australia to kick down the door. Anyone with a disability, well, what type of disability are we talking about? If you have a physical disability, why can a public servant deem you under a suspicion to be vulnerable and kick down your door? And that's what Section 3 of this Act, very loose language, which lawyers love. And then they've got further, you know, neglect and all the lovely little clauses that they put in there. But it gets even worse. And decision-making capacity. I've seen this definition played around so much, and they are now treating capacity as fluid because that gives them... That's the new thing that they're doing in Australia. Now, I actually heard this in a podcast. A lawyer last year was discussing how capacity can be fluid now. Well, I've argued that brain damage can also be permanent, so I don't know how they work that out. But what they're trying to say now is that you can have capacity, say, for example, in the morning, and then, of course, someone signs you up to powers of attorney, usually the state, and then at night you've lost capacity. And then they've taken over. So this fluidity is a real problem, because in the past, when a doctor deemed you to lack capacity, your powers of attorney would kick in. And if you nominated your children or your brother or sister or whatever, they would be your guardian or your protector. But now with this capacity being fluid, even if you have powers of attorney in Australia and you go into hospital, this social worker, which is very common, a social worker can come in with a trustee and say, well, when we saw your mother or father, we believe they had capacity. As you know, capacity is fluid. And they changed their mind and they revoked you and signed us up. How do you fight that beast? How do you fight the state? Because in Australia, it is an imbalance of power between the state and the person. Once they've got your signature, once they've convinced someone to sign up their disabled child to, say, the public trustees, the rest of the family who step up to be advocates of a loved one are fighting the state. It's not a private guardianship system here. It is a public system, generally. There are some private, and we don't hear much about them, but the public, the government is fighting us at a state level. They have unlimited resources. How do you fight this? How do you fight someone now in South Australia kicking down your door, and then the director's ordered that based on a suspicion, and basically throws you into a court and instructs the judge to ignore evidence and determine matters as it thinks fit? I mean, thinks fit. In other words, I can do as I please. This person up there can do as they please. And determined based on a balance of probabilities. What does that even mean? 50-50, I think? I mean, it's so open. It's so dangerous.
Well, you know, and they do the same thing here, Chris. This thing of no evidence in the court, the predator is standing there ready to assume your identity and present themselves as you and steal all your stuff, can stand up there and levy all kinds of charges that they never have to produce and are never asked for any evidence of to substantiate those charges. The person is not even allowed to speak most times. Most of the times they don't even know this hearing is taking place. And many times what we're finding, there is no actual assembly in the tribunal. It's all done by phone. This is the buddy system. And we do it that way, and then we boilerplate off these orders, if any are even actually issued. In many cases, we find there is none, but by the time you find that out, they've already kidnapped and isolated the person. And here, too, also, the police willingly take part in kidnapping that elderly person, breaking into homes. Medical kidnap has become a major problem here with hospitals, because somebody asks for a second opinion, guardianizing them overnight. The hospital's attorney will guardianize them overnight. You go in to see your loved one the next morning, there's an armed guard at the door, you can't go in. and they've been guardianized, and now they can do to that person whatever they want to, or withhold whatever they want to. And you know this is not going to go well. This is going on, but what aggravates me, what I'm hearing from you, what I hear from people in Canada and Japan and New Zealand and all over the place, is the willingness of the police to cooperate against people in their community. I don't understand that. They know that what they're doing is an assault on humanity. I mean, it just is. They have overstepped their bounds. They're operating with no warrant. I mean, I wonder what one of these judges would do if we kicked in their door and, you know, hauled them in for suspicion of being crazy. You were a judge. That indicates to us right there you're incapacitated. You know, I mean, it
that
makes
would be
as
deemed
much
illegal.
Sense. Yeah, there you go.
Different laws for them.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Go ahead.
It's lawlessness. It's lawlessness. There are laws for us, the general populace, and there seems to be, in Australia, in my opinion, and many others, a law for the law institutes, many of them, not all of them. There are lawyers I have spoken to who are unaware and horrified. And there are two lawyers that actually said to me, we don't deal with guardianship issues, we just deal with commercial contracts, it's easier. I think people need to really, I've spoken to many members of the media, and you see their eyes glass over. I don't blame them, because what you're actually telling them is something that is so unbelievable. If I was told this 5 years ago, I would say, crazy. This is crazy talk. Because we're under this illusion that there is a structure there to protect us. This is being eroded in front of us, and it's becoming a corporate. These tribunals are very dangerous. I always stress on this. A lot of people attack the public trustees in this country and the guardians, and I particularly don't like the guardians. So that was my experience. But the power in all of this are the tribunals. These tribunals, and it's not an attack on individual members. I'm not looking at it from that angle. I'm looking at the structure and the power base. They have excessive powers to determine life sentences. And that's what people need to realise. Your life is in the hands of somebody who often is not a judge. And it's no disrespect to them. They might have a lot of knowledge. They might have everything. But the reality is, it is a process that your life is being determined by a public servant that is employed by the state that has excessive powers to ignore all evidence, and they are immune to that. And to see what I saw was obstructions in attempting to get an answer on capacity being treated as a mere inconvenience was really disturbing. And my story, and thousands of others of that have spoken about this, is horrifying. And that's the thing, that's the issue that we are struggling with at the moment. There are lots of activists, and they need to be loud. Get on Twitter, get on Facebook. It shouldn't be just our group. The more groups, the merrier, I say. There will always be differences within groups, but the cause should always be the cause. We all have differences. My only concern with some activists, and I've noticed this, they are so-called activists, but they're really, there's a different agenda there. Their aim, there were two of them, their aim was to suppress discussing guardianship abuse. Their aim was to cause havoc. They can't do that because we're very, the core of us is we're very, very strong. But the reality is I question some advocates, and one of them at the moment is pushing this elder abuse campaign, knowing full right that her loved one was destroyed by guardianship, but never talks about that, encourages people to report it, because now she's actually paid by the government to do it. And we've actually been able to track back. She's now an employee. So she sold, as far as I'm concerned, when you sell your soul like that, you've sold your soul. And there are others, obviously, it's, the victimhood and what have you. We're all victims. Everyone's been a victim of this. No story. Some stories are far worse. I've heard some really shocking cases. At the meeting in New South Wales, there was a lovely young boy there He was involved in a car accident in his early 20s, and now he's under a guardianship order. I actually found him, his judgment was not impaired at all, very switched on, but he stuck with the trustees. And he actually said, I want them out of my life. I want these people out of my life. He wants to, you know, leave the country. Just to get them out of... Now, they're waiting. He's apparently, there's a payout that's coming, and they're waiting for that. He wants to buy a property and live in this property. They said no. I mean, this is outrageous that this young man, you know, this could be your son, my son. It could be anyone. This is not just about the elderly. They are targeting now NDIS. NDIS in Australia is a national disability scheme. And we're hearing a lot about this. And it's really sad because a lot of people, they really get angry with us. Can you help us? Can you help us? We're trying, but we are limited under the law. We can't intervene. We can't act as a guardian. We can't do that because the power, that legal transfer of decision making, has been taken from the victim to a government entity. And that's what we're seeing. It's the legal transfer of decision making. And that's why even activists can't do anything, because it's like a chattel. We're being treated as property. And if you own property, you have a title. Well, what they do with personal decision-making is that piece of paper, your personal and financial decision-making, has been transferred. You are, like you say, Marty, you are legally dead under the law. And then you see these adult safeguarding units in South Australia that, and Chris Jenkins will probably come on and explain it further. If you actually stand up and say, no, please leave, well, they can turn around and fine you $10,000, $20,000. There are jail terms in this legislation as well. Interestingly, there's immunity for politicians and lawyers in this legislation, so I found that quite interesting. But you're looking at someone coming into your property without a warrant, kicking down the door and taking granny. And there's nothing you can do about it in South Australia. This legislation will be rolled out in other states. I don't know how it got through. Just based on a suspicion, I mean, if this is not 1940s behaviour actually legislated, I don't know what is. And it's quite scary.
We up here in Minnesota have a particularly virulent predator running who prefers people who have been in accidents, that are brain injured, you know, vegetative, or so he claims. And he, of course, avails himself of any insurance payouts, any Medicare, anything else. It all comes to him. Social Security, and of course, the hospital's making money off insurance and Medicare. And so he decided here a few years back that he had messed with this one young man who he claimed was vegetative long enough, and he wanted to issue a DNR. And he went by statute, you have to go back to the probate examiner. And she said, no, that's too much power for one person to have. You can't do this. She said, the statute says clearly that you cannot do this unilaterally. So he sued and he went to state court. And the state court upheld the probate examiner and said, no, this is too much power for one person to have. So he took it on to the Supreme Court of the state of Minnesota, who wrote an article or an opinion and said that because the one statute said that as guardian, they had the right to make medical decisions, you could extrapolate this to mean also calling for a DNR. I shot an article out there immediately and said apparently they never read all of the statute or thought nobody else would, because about four or five statutes down in this mess, it says in the event that do not resuscitate is called for, the guardian, the family, and the physicians must be called together in front of the probate examiner and come to a common decision. And I said, so apparently they thought either nobody knew or they wouldn't look and they'd get away with this. And I had two Supreme Court justices here in Minnesota write me letters demanding that I retract that article. And my response was, when you can show me where I am wrong, I will retract it. I never heard another word. But now it is a standing thing, you know, here that if the Guardian calls for DNR, that's just too bad. Nobody can say anything. And it's all because of this one predator that runs. And by the way, heads up to folks down there in Florida. He likes the winter in Florida now, so you may want to be careful because he's there. Hold on a second here. We've got a caller coming in. Area code, I don't have an area code on you. Did you have a question or comment?
Hi, it's Chris from Australia. How are you?
Yes. Hi, Chris.
I was just listening to what Chris and you guys were saying there. The legislation is a strange one from my perspective. It's being used in other countries. In England, it was based on the English version, I think. But I believe it's in lots of countries. The issue that I have in a lot of this legislation is that you're expected to trust the government to do the right thing when they put in legislations like can, maybe, you know, should, their opinion to base the decisions that come out of that legislation. Now, we know there is legislation in Australia, in most of the areas in the Guardianship and Administration Act, where it says the Act has to operate in the best interest of the vulnerable person. Well, clearly they breach that legislation over and over again, and it's for self-gain and cover-up. We have laws that say accurate records must be kept by government officers, etc. That gets buried, and the financial safeguards are not in place for people to get hold of that evidence that is buried. We have this legislation in South Australia where the director makes these decisions. Now, in the Act, it says, you know, the courts can do this, a court can make an order, but it appears like the court has more safeguards in its decision-making than the director does. And I tried to ring that office this morning, the Adult Safeguarding Unit in South Australia. I rang their phone number. I got a message bank, we're not available, leave a message. Okay, so then I rang the office that's in charge of it, the Office of Ageing. I got another message bank, we're not available, leave a message. Then I rang the CEO of the Health Areas office, and I asked the question, I got through to them, I asked the question, who is the director? And I was told the name of the director of this adult safeguarding unit. And then I did a search on her, and I looked up, what is her background? Well, we should be all comforted. She was a school teacher, a secondary school teacher, before she went into the government. And, okay, she's done some other secondary studies, but additional studies, but she was part of SA Health for the last 5 years and in the area of policy and projects. Now, she is the director of this safeguarding unit who can make these decisions on an anonymous phone call or possibly from their legislation, also a left message by an anonymous person. To go and break into some office, some person's house, and drag them from their house. And the Guardian, US Guardian movie sits in my mind as how these people will react to this happening to them. And I think it's appalling that you can have these people making these decisions. And at the moment, the director's decision is she's protected from that decision. No one's going to get her for anything. If you want to appeal it, you have to go back to her to ask for an appeal. There is no other avenues in place, from what I gather. It's going to be another year before the Ombudsman, which is another blotter in the system, gets involved in this. So we have this system where in the next year, can we trust that the legislation will be used properly in the for the purpose of protecting the elderly. And at the moment, the people that are affected are adults over 65. That's in the legislation, but they will review that in future. So they're going to go down in age, obviously, and pick on other people. But it appears to me that, you know, this office that is involved in this is SA Health, and their own investigative so-called independent investigators came to the conclusion that it's plagued with maladministration and likely corruption. So you've put this vulnerable person in the control of an office that they are currently in the media saying is plagued with maladministration and likely corruption. And you've given them all these, you can do what you want on your own, of your own volition or whatever you feel like doing, and no safeguards. So to me, it is an appalling situation, and they will and Chris is right, they will copy this in other states. They'll pick the worst bits out of every bit of legislation and plonk it into their own new legislation. And at the moment, we've got these courts and these tribunals, and they're not even black robes, as you put in your introduction. I think they're these kangaroo courts, because they could roll up in shorts and thongs and still get the same result. The whole system is just purely for exploiting people, and to me, this legislation allows them free run to do what they want. And I picture that person, that elderly person. Someone gave an anonymous phone call that she is now alone and vulnerable. The carer that abused her is not there, so you need to do something. Hasn't been there for 3 days, an anonymous person could say. Then this office works 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. So if the anonymous person made the phone call on Friday afternoon, what is the office has to act on it? That's in the legislation. What are they going to do? Leave the person for the weekend or a long weekend, or are they going to go and break the door down? To me, this is just crazy. And there's legislation in place already for the police to go and protect someone who is being abused. Well, they won't act on the elder abuse. The law, it's a civil matter as far as the police is concerned. But there is legislation in place, so we're getting into the situation where it's just unacceptable for this sort of abuse of the vulnerable people to be occurring without proper safeguards and just allowing people to do whatever they want, these public servants. So I'm just appalled by it.
I think we all are. I think we all are, Chris. Chris, do you have anything you want to add to this, or other Chris?
I think it was well said. I'm just appalled that legislation like this has seen the light of day. You would think that the 1940s was long and gone. Never again, we keep hearing. Never again, these Holocausts and everything else. Never again. But it's again. We're back to it. It's the start of... I think we need to accept that governments, that a population should always have a healthy suspicion of governments. There's nothing wrong with being suspicious. And history has shown, democide being the main killer of mankind, our governments can turn on us. And I think what's going to happen, they will get a lot of money out of this legislation. It will eventually... Time's up. Every dog has its day. Eventually, guardianship abuse will be exposed. This issue will not go away. More and more victims will speak up. Time is ticking. I think they're in that sort of... They've picked up... the way I see it, it's similar to where towards the end of the war, the government could see the writing was on the wall, so they picked it up a notch, and I think we're at that notch. They were comfortable for 2-3 decades, picking off people in hospitals, picking off people in respite, picking off people in hospice. Now they've realised We've got no money. The governments, they're not broke, Marty. The money has been transferred to private offshore companies, Cayman Islands, all these places. Governments are not broke. They're telling us they're broke. What they've actually done is they are thieves. They have stolen the money. The money has just been, it's the old, what's that saying, privatise the losses and or something to that effect. I can't remember the actual word. But
you privatise the profits and nationalise the losses.
That's right. That's what they've done. So I'm sorry, I just lost it there for a minute. But the reality is that's what they're doing here. So in effect, the money has gone. And there's money sitting in your home, in your bank account, in your 401s, in your superannuation, in your life insurance policies. They'll never pay those life insurance policies. There is money there. So there's still money there. So they're looking at us and saying, okay, we need to get that house and we need to divvy that up. It sounds unbelievable that anyone would do it, but it's actually happening. And the media have a vital role here in exposing it. Now, when the war was going on in the 1940s, the BBC, there are allegations made by many people now, the BBC were aware of what was happening and never reported that. And that's what's happening now. We have media that have been told the stories. They know what's going on. It does sound incredulous. It sounds, you know, unbelievable. And really it is. But it's actually happening. And we can't all be lying. We can't all be saying the same thing. We have a variety of people that come through, farmers, nurses, doctors, educated people, people that have just, you know, high school education, all saying the same thing. We're all from different backgrounds, all are valuable parts of our community and working and doing everything else, but we're all experiencing the same institutional abuse, because that's what this is. This is institutional abuse and government abuse. The governments at a federal level are not stepping in. You're right. They're making money as well. In Australia, they make money out of this. Why would the Attorney Generals from both parties, political parties, support the elder abuse campaign? Because whilst the states are left in charge of this, there are flow-on effects. And the flow-on effects are capital gains taxes when all these estates get sold. Federal government gains out of that. There are carers pensions. There are carers allowances. There are utility concessions. There are travel concessions. It actually costs the government a lot of money for you to stay at home. Well, there's an easy solution. Lock them up. Give them a small paltry amount of their pension, take the estates, and they're all making money. I can't see, they're addicted to this, Marty. They are, this is like a drug now for them. They're not going to give this up without a fight. And
you know,
for
and
those who are listening and thinking that this won't happen to them, you have to think again, because I never thought it would. I thought powers of attorney would cement it. But the reality is they mean nothing.
I leaned on this, Chris, so many times that people don't understand. I don't care what kind of estate planning you've done, how long it's been in place, how ironclad you think it is. When you get in these probate tribunals, everything is cast aside. The determination is if you're incapacitated now, you must have been 20 years ago when you set this up. So we're just going to throw all that aside and hand all, everything over. None of this is worth anything. I have maintained all along that the attorneys who sell these plans should be brought up on charges, because either they are fraudulently selling you a program they know is not worth the paper it's written on. Or, you know, and they know this can be cast aside, and they are taking your money to help you set up something that won't hold water, that in these probate tribunals absolutely have no bearing whatsoever. You talked also about this thing about them doing this globally. Yes, they are doing it globally, just as they did in World War II, only at that point in time it was confined to Europe. And although many people like to call it the Jewish Holocaust, and it was for the Jewish people, most certainly, but there were millions and millions more people who were slaughtered during this, most of them, many of them, because they were elderly. And they got rid of the people who were infirm, exactly what we're doing now. They got rid of people who were mentally ill, exactly. We're passing laws here in the States, Connecticut, and I believe it's Oregon who passed laws making it, or it's Maryland and Oregon that passed laws making it legal to starve the mentally ill and those with dementia to death. Now think about that. That has got to be one of the cruelest things. We are finding that under medical kidnap, people with long-term disabilities are just serendipitously dying. They've decided they aren't worth caring for, so we're just going to pull the plug on them. We are doing exactly the same thing, and I brought this up at the summit, and I'm going to say it again. The one thing we learned from Hitler and the Nazis is you don't want to start firing shots and making a big bloody mess and drawing attention. You do it the warm, fuzzy way. You bring it in incrementally. You bring in hospice, whose trade and brand was Good Samaritan and was for many years, is now considered the Grim Reaper. You bring it in that way. You put people in hospice, and they set about murdering them. And they call it palliative care. It is terminal sedation. They withhold food and hydration, and they drug them to the point of oblivion, and then come in and give them the kill shot. And take them out a little too bad. And you see this stuff happening. The idea that we can abort full-term babies now. They are reducing the population, but the people they want rid of the most are the elderly. The reason they want rid of us is because we own the bulk of real wealth. We came out of World War II. We came out of the Depression. Some of us, there aren't too many of us left from that era. But a lot of us were born during World War II or shortly thereafter, and there was this sense of saving and buying your own home and staying out of debt. But this whole generation now has been trained to be a consumer, to consume, to be parasitic. And they produce virtually nothing, and they consume everything. The only people left with wealth are the older generations. And in every country we have looked at, Chris, the main impetus seems to be getting their hands not just on the liquid assets, but on the land, on the property. And as I saw in your newspaper there reporting, there are many areas there in Australia now that people have found out their land has been sold to foreign corporations and they didn't even know it. They are doing the same thing here.
Marty.
We have a case in New South Wales. We have a case in New South Wales where a gentleman, the guardian, did not take his parent. They took over the father's affairs, did not take the sale of the farmland to auction. And it looks like Chinese developers took over.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We have
Trans-Canada
pipeline coming out of Canada down through North Dakota. We've been fighting that XL pipeline with the Standing Rock Sioux because this cuts right through the Missouri River, the Ogallala Aquifer, our whole water supply for up here in the upper Midwest. And they've already had 63 oil line breaks, explosions, 60 some miles of river contaminated. They just gave them eminent domain to take people's land and run this pipeline anyway. We are being parceled out in every country. We are being parceled out. We are being robbed. We are having whole sections of the population obliterated. And there are these parasites at the top. I have said this on several shows. I had no idea there were so many sociopathic, even psychopathic, people walking around loose.
Marty,
have to be. Yes.
Marty, you mentioned the cruelty, and I think that hits home with a lot of us because we've seen it of loved ones, etc. But that's not what they don't care about that. You know that, and we know that. Cruelty and what it does to a person is irrelevant. They're just a number or an asset in the system. And I was told once from a so-called independent investigator in a state office, don't go down the cruelty, don't go down the abuse line. All you can do is follow the money. But then they don't follow the money. And what we all did wrong was we trusted the government to do the right thing to protect the people. And with this legislation, the office can act on suspicion of elder abuse to arguably violate a person's right, put them in great physical and mental risk, likely cruel, degrading treatment, ending in denied liberty, and taken from the place they had previously safe residence to be locked in a room and retained. That's the end result for these people, then exploited by the government that is supposed to be trusting them. They say they can act on suspicion. We've not been acting on suspicion of government abuse and corruption, etc. We have the evidence. We've given them the evidence. They know it. They are the ones that are accountable, and we have to give the evidence of their accountability to them to self-review. That is what the system is wrong. And tell me how a scenario can't happen when you say you trust the government when they use for decades Crown solicitors to oppose the people seeking protection for themselves, and in the end result, it's costing the person that's being abused their life and their assets and their money to try and protect them when the government does nothing. And with this elder abuse thing, they're telling people to report elder abuse, but there's no means for the people they're telling to report elder abuse under the law to act on it. And until there's properly enforced criminal law designed for under state and federal protection against elder abuse, which includes all abusers, including the government officers, the government employees, and the government itself, then nothing's going to change. And the act where they collect evidence to apparently a suspicion of elder abuse, where is that going? The evidence will only be used to force the victim from the normal life they had into institutions and to remove their money and allow the public trustee to exploit most of them. And to me, you know, we have to, people need to, when they look at us and they say, you're crazy or you're doing this, blah, 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 just look at the evidence. That's what they won't do. They won't look at the evidence. Follow the money. Exactly. It always leads to the abuser, but they don't look. They seem to, like, you know, some of us were naive initially to think, oh, these new laws, they say they're to protect people, so they must be really good to protect them, and they're doing the right thing. But it's how they use these laws and the reason they put these loopholes in their laws, all their laws, so that when it comes back and bites them in some way, they can get out of it. But they don't care about the individual person. They're only caring about themselves, the government. And in Australia, trust has been lost, in my opinion, towards our governments, all of them. But we have no choice. What do you do if you can't trust the government? When election comes around, the next ones that they want are just as bad. So you're in the situation where if the government was a little bit wiser, it might start thinking about listening to what people say around the world before they get to protest stage and violence and all the rest. And I don't condone violence, and I can understand the frustration of a lot of people, but this is all to do with the trust that has been lost, and they're making us go around in circles, chase our tails at the level of the public trustees or the guardians in your state, and so that we spend all our time chasing around there where we're not looking at the cause of all that, which is in legislation and in the governments. And in Australia, the government has the advantage over the US is that they stuck theirs under their public sector, so they're fully protected. They can do whatever they want. Whereas in the US, you're seeing private guardians being caught. We are not going to get that in Australia while the public sector is involved. And as Chris said earlier, as far as the AASGAA goes, we believe that what has to happen is that the public trustees remove from the system altogether, so that even if the tribunals have to stay there, which I don't believe they should be making these decisions on people's lives, etc., what's happening here. But even if they stay there for a while doing this stuff, when you get rid of the public trustees, you remove the conflict of interest where the money or the person is sent into a system where the government gains from it. You at least remove that part. And in 2010 in Australia, the federal government told the states, as part of a funding agreement, they wanted the trustees under the federal legislation. Well, the states gave up the private sector trustees, but not the public sector ones, theirs that they make the big money on. Now, that could be an immediate thing by our federal government today. They can just go back with the same bit of legislation and say, we want the public trustees under that act. They then become corporations, not protected under the state's financial licenses and all these laws that mean you can't touch them for anything. And in South Australia, what I'm experiencing at the moment is that they stick their files into 60-year protected files and no one can get them. And this is to do with a person's administration under public trustee. Now, how is that a state security risk for them to to allow people to see their family members' administration files, whether government took money from them wrongly or whatever? I know what they're doing, but to put it under 60 years. So the whole thing, this whole issue is really to do with a trust issue, and the trust is not there for good reason, and it has to be rebuilt, and that's going to be pretty hard for the government. But the way they're doing it at the moment, they're removing any opportunity for rebuilding trust in the government. And people like Chris and I and others, all we're doing is identifying a problem that exists in a corrupt system. But the problem is we can only identify it to the people that are corrupt, because they have the powers to do something and they're never going to do it. And unfortunately, that's the way the system as I see it. And for elderly people or younger people, as Chris was saying, it's not just the elderly now. It's whoever has assets that they can think they can get hold of, or as a burden on society, or as a cost to society, they're the targets of these people, and that is not the world I want. I believe should exist, but we don't know where there's another place. I would recommend to every Australian to leave the country and find somewhere, if there was somewhere, that's safe. But it's a pretty bad situation where the person Chris was talking about earlier, the younger guy, he was even considering leaving the country to try and protect himself from the government of New South Wales in this case. So it's just something's wrong and someone has to do something, and we talk about these things, but it appears like we're talking to people with deaf ears, but they're listening. It's just that they already know what we're saying and they're not going to do anything about it. And tell me why the government in Australia, or the government anywhere, need to have an inquiry into this. They know exactly what's going on. The inquiry is just a delay tactic and a facade to let people think that something's being done. And it's just a terrible state, but you know, that's how I feel anyway.
Doug, what do you think about this?
Okay, look, I've got a couple of issues that need to be recognised. Firstly, going back to ancient history, in the run-up to the Second World War, the Minister of Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, invented this creed, if you like, this criteria, that if you invent a monstrous lie, and it must be emphasised, the lie must be monstrous. That's a key part of it. And then you tell the lie often enough, eventually the people will accept it as the truth. Now, the guardianship racket is that monstrous lie. The lie is so monstrous that the average citizen, and I'm talking 99%, cannot accept that something so monstrous could be a lie. They accept it as the truth. That's the first point. The second point, we have an international police organisation called Interpol. Interpol has 11 criteria it uses to identify organised crime. Australian governments comply perfectly with every single one of those 11 criteria. So Australian governments are organised crime. The third issue we have, because of the total complacency of Australian sheeple, education of potential victims is not possible. We found this at the two state meetings we've had so far. The chances of getting the potential victims along is nearly negligible. Thankfully, Christine's got a clue which might work with the ethnic communities in the Greek, Cypriot and so on and so forth communities in Victoria. But previously in Queensland, New South Wales, the sheeple do not want to be educated. They have too much on their mind. They don't care. And that really is why we have a lot of the problems we have with government, not only with the guardianship racket, we have it with council, we have it with everything that governments do, because the absolute, total, complete apathy of the sheeple. Now, another issue that's related to that, there's a quote, also Second World War, by a Lutheran pastor called Martin Niemöller. Commonly people know it as first they came for the socialists. How that whole report goes, first they came for the socialists, I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews. I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there's no one left to speak for me. Now, this is why we need somehow to figure out how to educate the sheeple. One of the things that has been kicked around here is a documentary, but a particularly Australian version for the kangaroo tribunals. The media will occasionally expose a bit of the guardianship and the administration racket, but they will not expose the kangaroo tribunals. There's a good reason why they won't do that. The media entities, or media reporters and presenters, are responsible to take notice of what their legal advisers tell them. Otherwise, they wouldn't have a job. The legal advisers are officers of the court. Now, under the English common law system, which I think America follows as well, lawyers and barristers and judges and attorneys, whatever you call them, are officers of the court. Their first responsibility is to the court. Now, notwithstanding the fact that tribunals are not courts, they do not comply with the Australian Constitution. They are not a court. They're a kangaroo tribunal. But because the legal advisers are officers of the court, if they abuse the court or offend the court, they can have their practising certificate ripped off them immediately. So their whole career is totally destroyed. So they will not oppose them. So we have these kangaroo tribunals that are regarded as courts when they are not. They can make any decision they want, as Chris Jenkinson and Christine Dallas have said. They are unaccountable to anything, any power in Australia. They can do whatever they want. They can make whatever decisions they want. They can disregard evidence. They can fabricate evidence as they want. And I've got plenty of evidence, plenty of instances where they've actually fabricated evidence. Current law in Queensland virtually allows them to fabricate evidence. They've always done it, but now we've got legislation that says they can fabricate evidence. What we do, what sort of justice is that? We don't have access to justice in Australia. The average citizen cannot go to a court and expect to get justice. You cannot sue a politician. You cannot sue a bureaucrat. You cannot sue a member of the judiciary. They're all protected. Even if you had bucketfuls of money, like who's that fat witch in Western Australia? Hancock, isn't it? I forget, some witch mining magnate in Western Australia anyway, she might get some access to justice. The well-fed bloke in Queensland, or what's his name, Clive Palmer, he may get access to justice, but unless you've got a bank account measured in the billions, you do not have access to justice. And they crack on about equal access. Equal my fat aunt. If you're Clive Palmer or Gina Reinhart, her name is, Clive Palmer or Gina Reinhart, and has your estate's worth, $20 billion, maybe possibly you can purchase justice. But justice is not a question of equality. It's something you have to buy. And the amount of money you have determines how much justice you can afford to buy. Most of us aren't in that position to be able to buy justice. So you have totally unaccountable politicians, bureaucrats, judiciary. I defy anybody to try to sue one of those clowns because you can't. They're all protected. We have laws that mean absolutely nothing. Legislation says, oh, they must do such and such. Must is very interesting. Theoretically, in law, must means there's no option. You can't say, oh, well, maybe, possibly. No, must, you must observe it. But if there is no recourse, if there is no way of forcing them to observe law, must means absolutely nothing. It might as well not even be there. Exactly. Our legislation provides plenty of avenues for them to attack us. If we drive our vehicle too fast, there are the Queensland legislation, it's actually called the Transport Operations, in brackets, Road Use Management, close brackets, Act 2016 or whatever it is. Now, that says that in about 550 pages, over half of those 550 pages are about recourse, how the grubs can get at us if we break some traffic rule. But you look at legislation controls, and look at the Guardianship Administration Act, the KitKat Act, the Public Trustee Act, the Guardianship Act, goes on and on and on, Public Service Act. Not one word about recourse. Not a word. So while they must do this, they must do that, must do something else, there's no mention, not even a hint, not so much as a character about how you can obtain recourse if they don't do what they must do. Now, we can't sue them because that's not possible. We don't have the resources. We can't. They've all got immunities anyway. It just goes on and on and on. You can't change it easily because the sheeple don't want to be educated. So, where do we go?
Okay.
One of the things we have kicked around, though, is doing a documentary, an Australian version, attacking the tribunals specifically, not the guardianship racket itself, not the public trustees, not the adult guardians. They get a little bit of exposure. But attacking the tribunals, because without these kangaroo tribunals, most of this racket wouldn't be able to exist. Now, it's been said that you have a contact with Netflix. There's no way in the world the mainstream media is going to report on anything against the government. Regardless of this crap in the media lately about, oh, the media sort of has been gagged and so on and so forth, the media's always been gagged, or voluntarily they've gone along with the government. This whole thing lately that's going on, oh, we can't print things in the paper because we're restricted in opposing the government. The media's always been in cahoots with the government. That American, it's a Canadian movie, All Governments Lie, by White Pine Films in Canada, gives a very, very good view of exactly how governments and the media operate in concert. They're the same entity. They're part of the same club. This last little bit of advertising in Australia is just a distraction. It's not the real truth. The truth is the media and the government are effectively the same organisation. They're all corporate.
Well,
they all look after each other.
Here in the States, since 1954, the CIA, under a plan, and I love it, this always sounds like the old cowboys and Indians that little boys play,
yeah,
but under Operation Mockingbird, which is still in effect, 50% at minimum of every news outlet, major news outlet, is populated by people from the CIA. Their job is to wash and clean the news, to make sure you get only the news they want you to know, only the way they want you to know it. And all these people we think that are on TV, that are these investigative reporters and these news anchors, are nothing more than paid actors reading the script. And they're all being handed the same script. John Daly, who ran the Daily, or John Stewart, who ran the Daily Show here, I don't know if that showed over there in Australia, one of the things that forced him off air was he took five of the top cable news shows reporting on the same issue and overlaid the audio from each of those shows, one on top of the other. They were all saying it word for word, breaking it exactly the same point, laughing a little bit, picking back up, and they damn near hung that man from the nearest lamppost for doing that. And I think that was the first heads up most of the public had here that they were being conned. But none of the news you hear on mainstream media bears any resemblance to the truth. This is one of the reasons, like alternative radio, like what we do, they're after us so bad. They're trying to shut us down. Facebook shutting down 800 pages overnight. Twitter shutting down 600 overnight. No warning, no nothing. They have all these systems, anything to quell dissent, quiet it, keep the actual news of what's
like
going on from getting out.
How vulnerable do you believe Netflix will be?
Say what?
How honorable do you believe Netflix will be?
Netflix, pretty quick. They do a lot of original work, and I know they're going to be coming out with a series on guardianship here in the States. A good friend of mine was interviewed extensively for that. I was supposed to be, unfortunately, right before I was to do my interview in New York, my sister passed away, and I was unable to go. But there's another one that I find is far better than Netflix, which is that one called Tubi, to UBI. They have a ton of documentaries on there that you don't see anywhere else. But you are in the process doing a documentary, correct? And it's going to be focused on the tribunals. See, and that is the problem here too. Nothing happens without the facilitation of that probate tribunal. Nothing.
Yep.
Everything pivots around them. That is the top crook sitting there. And they make sure everything hums like it's supposed to. So I'll be looking forward to seeing this. And whenever you get it ready, you let me know, because we will help you promote it.
But, that's very good. That's what we need. I think it's the only way we're going to get promoted, because the mainstream media are not going to attack the tribunals. Not a chance.
Yeah. Right. And the only time we get anything close to the truth is when people do these documentaries, and it's just common people doing them. These are not, most of the time, are not professional filmmakers or anything else. It's people doing the best they can to tell you what's going on and what's happening, what's coming your way.
Yeah, the establishment doesn't want it out. The establishment protects itself, including the mainstream media. We have no choice to face stuff and do it ourselves.
And many documentaries outsell or are outviewed by what is professionally done, or supposedly professionally done. Many times they're so explosive because they don't filter. They don't cut things out that might be inconvenient. And you talked earlier about how these people, these heads of these tribunals and everything, and these lawyers, nobody's accountable. Nobody can be held responsible. That's the same way it is here. They tried to pass a bill in Massachusetts for a public guardian. And when I read through this thing about screamed, I wrote a big article about it. But what it basically got down to in the very end of it was, and this was written by the former attorney general for the state of Massachusetts, who apologized for not getting this done while he was in office. Darn it. But no one could be held accountable for anything, even for what he referred to as ordinary neglect. I wrote the man three times and said, will you please explain what ordinary neglect is, because I just don't know what that is. Neglect is neglect. But you couldn't touch anybody from the top to the bottom, from that probate examiner down to the nursing home employee that was abusing that person and everybody in between. Nobody was accountable. Everybody was immune from being prosecuted. This was the public guardian. It's a sick system. Like I said, I had no idea we had so many sick people running around. And unfortunately, they are in position, which I guess is quite common with this type of personality. They always position themselves in some level of government or in the community. They a lot of times like to hide in churches. But they're always putting themselves so that if anything ever comes up to question, they say, well, I'm a pillar of the community. I'm this, I'm that, I'm something else. You know, how dare you accuse me? Because you're the one doing it. That's why. But that's the thing. Are you in the process now of filming?
No, just putting the story together. Film will have to how much we've got the storyline together, but I've just about got the storyline together.
Okay.
Once that's completed and approved by Chris Jenkinson and Christine Dallas, then we can start doing the filming.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, stay on it. I'm going to hold you to that. Because we've got more being done in the States, too.
I've got more contempt in the establishment. Nobody on the planet Earth has got more contempt in the establishment than I've got.
Yeah, you're starting to break up a little bit there. Chris or Doug, you want to step in here for a minute and hope that line clears out for him?
Well, that's really what Doug has said is quite true. But what people don't realise, the tribunals, I view, and like I've always stated, this is not a personal attack on individuals. This is a structure that concerns me. Quite excessive powers. They are not fit for purpose for a democracy. You cannot go into a tribunal. I mean, in Australia, what I witnessed was so scary. We're talking, I believe, and I allege this, parts of the Crimes Act in this state were broken, contravened, and nothing was done. These are allegations I am levelling at certain people that I believe turned a blind eye to what one person would call a common law administration offences. And I think if they can do this and have the power to ignore evidence, I mean, and it's under the law, they can ignore evidence. We can't have legislation like that. But what when Doug speaks about the average person, the average person, like myself, believes there is a system in place that follows court rules, because we're not versed to the court rules, the lawyers all know that. But you have an assumption when you go into a tribunal or to a courtroom, in particular a courtroom, that there are certain protocols that have to follow. For example, the right of reply, an impartial judge, the rules of evidence, a public hearing, all those checks and balances that will make the process correct and just. Now, you might not like the outcome. Sometimes you just don't like the outcome because the law is the law, and that's when the law has to change. So I don't have an issue, a real outcome, if the process is just and fair. But when you go into these tribunals, the process, from what I saw, is open to abuse of power and is corruptible. And the professional guardians and the professional trustees know how to play the system. And the victim, usually the first-time player, first-time appearance, doesn't know what's going on. And before they leave, the minute they leave that, and a lot of people have said this to me, the minute they leave the tribunal, they think, what just happened in there? What happened? We've had cases of people questioning the trustees and the guardians who have falsified, who have lied under oath, who have submitted false affidavits, and they've been able to prove that these affidavits are false. And the tribunal member says, well, I'm not really interested. How can that be a just and right system? We can't have tribunals like this. And I think that Doug is right. The tribunal process is very, very dangerous because you go in there. I mean, look, I can understand on a first world problem like a warranty issue or, you know, your TV doesn't work and you go into a tribunal and there has to be, you know, you don't want to go in and supply an affidavit, obviously, for such a trivial matter. That's okay. Tribunals serve a purpose in those issues. However, when it's your life or your loved one's life, your parent's life, your child, your sibling, you expect a standard, a level of standard in a tribunal or in a court. But in these tribunals, you're getting a warranty standard, okay? And I think that's the problem that we've got here. The government created these tribunals in the 80s to deal with the first world problems, the warranties, the little things under $5,000. And they thought to themselves, hey, this is really good. Let's tack on this department in a tribunal and let's tack on this department. And then they've tacked on guardianship. Guardianship issues, children's matters, anything to do with a family need to be held at a federal level, in my opinion, and in a federal court that follow processes of common law and the rule of law. And while sometimes the outcome will never be satisfactory, you know, at least you have a fair process. Where the law has to step up is that if there's one family member or one loved one that is willing to step in and look after a loved person, whether it's a sister or a brother, that person should always have the right to do that. There's a lady in Queensland at the moment, Sue. Her parents, and it wasn't their fault, clearly, one of her sibling is disabled and they obviously didn't want to put the other kids, you know, a burden of looking after the brother, nominated the public trustee to look after the brother, and he's now under the public trustee, and they are basically, you know, she has evidence, mounting evidence of maladministration, bills not being paid, bills that are not his being paid, and she has raised it to the Shadow Attorney General. She's gone really, really high up, and they're ignoring her. absolutely ignoring her. It's her brother. Now, why can't she look after her brother? She's more than capable, very switched on woman, you know, financially sound, can make judgments. Why are they removing the families under any circumstance? It's just ridiculous. And the law needs to come back to last resort. In Victoria, the public guardian and the trustee, well, the public guardian, steps in as a last resort. Okay? Now, that, there's no more last resort. Once someone is vulnerable in Australia, you become, there's a competition that starts between the family and even the victim in many cases and the government. And it becomes this fight. You can't stand up to that. And this is where I'm really annoyed often with the ombudsman. I'm really annoyed with the ombudsman and women because their job is supposedly to step in, not just write reports, but to actually say, hey, there's an imbalance of power here between the state and the individual. And guardianship is a very clear case of an imbalance of power. All you see is a report that goes, and it was a great report in Victoria. Look, hats off to Deborah Glass for writing that report because reading it gave us a lot of, there's a lot of good information in there. However, will the government, you know, the governments have said, oh, we will act on it. Are they really? They won't act on anything. They never do. And this is where we need to, and it's really frustrating. I think in terms of the media, I know Doug and others are cynical. I'm not that cynical. I think there are, I met many logical reporters who want to report this story, but they've been held back. Two in particular would love to crack this story open, the main media. But when it goes higher up, and this is what I'm seeing, the lawyers come in and tell the reporters, you can't do this, you can't say that, you can't show the face here. And that's really what's really scary. I can't even tell you who the person concerned is as they are still alive. So I can't say anything about it. I can't tell anyone my story. And we're silenced. And it's and every story involves an element, I believe, from what I've seen that I've spoken so far to people. There's some criminality in there. There's deviousness in there. There's documents being destroyed. There's clear lying. And they can't say anything. They can't tell their story. And that's the crime here. That not only are they, the stages involved where stage one, I call it, where they target the individual or they're aware of an individual, then stage two, they start wrestling to get control, these predators, because that's what they are. And once they've got control in stage three, it's locking them up and killing them off, basically. And the Royal Commissions into Aged Care have clearly shown cases of murder, rape, kerosene baths, theft, abuse, neglect, chemical restraint. There's the thousands of stories in the Royal Commission. So we know what they're physically doing to people, but financially, the government is doing everything in its power not to expose that. Now, we had a Royal Commission into banking, and Adele Ferguson exposed a lot of that. And this reporter was actually apparently threatened. She was receiving text messages, and she still carried on and brought that through. And there's a great book called Banking Bad, which she, you know, speaks of all of that. And there are some great reporters who have actually got the guts to do it. But I think what they look at guardianship and think it's a complex system. It isn't. It's actually really straightforward. It's the legal transfer of decision making to the government, or to the guardians, or to the trustees. Once they've got that, which is what I call stage three, I call it the guardianship death rattle. That's when they start pillaging and they use the estate as an open checkbook. They love families fighting at this stage because the billable hours just, you know, crank up. So they're thrilled at that stage because they have control. They are you and they are spending your money or your parents' money or your siblings' money. So the more complaints, the more money they make. And then stage four is the one that concerns me. There's no redress. So the victim or the family's victim sees what's going on and then decides, I'm going to write a letter to the ombudsman. You get a letter back, which is nothing. I'm going to write a letter to the medical board. You'll get a letter back saying, you know, the same standard letters. They just print them back. There's no redress. There's nowhere you can go. You can't even protest in Australia. You know, you can't gather. If you grow, you need a license. We tried to protest in Bendigo recently with Laura. She needed permission. The police were driving up and down. You know, her mother, because of a sibling, her mother is now in a home that she does not want to be in, and a guardian has taken over the decision-making, the personal decision-making, even though the daughter, Laurie, loves her mother, has looked after her mother for 10 years. She was removed. My sister was removed as being a guardian, who she was up since 1977. It's just crazy stuff. And this is what's happening, horrible.
We've got about 5 minutes here, Chris. I want to remind everybody that this is Chris works with Australian Association to Stop Guardianship and Administrative Abuse. Excuse me there. And they're affiliated with National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuse here in the States. They can't broadcast over there about these shows, although the shows can be picked up. So, I mean, we do have an advantage there, which is why we're broadcasting from here in the States. We're not under their gag order. It's the same process in both countries and several countries. This is a global culling that is taking place with an eye on capturing as much property and liquid asset as possible. And if the person dies in the process or doesn't die fast enough, there's always remedy for that. We're going to keep battling this. We're going to be doing more shows. Chris and everyone over there has to take breaks intermittently because of things that are happening in Australia. So we're not scheduling as regularly as we would like to. But as we move through this, whenever they're available, we'll have them on. So stay in touch with them. You can get them on Facebook. That's the Australian Association to Stop Guardian and Administrative Abuse. And nicely available on Facebook. For everybody that tuned in tonight, thank you very much. And this is part of the Whistleblower Series brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit taking place in Washington, D.C. at the end of every July. This next one will be 2020, of course. And before we get to that point, I want to say again, I've said it before, I don't see this next national election taking place. They will either stop it before it happens or in progress. They are cranking up this Looney Tunes Antifa crowd. There's people, I've never seen people so vicious as they have been regarding this current president. I hate to even call him that. The man is just despicable in my estimation, but that's just me. and he's well aware of this issue too, and of course he can't be bothered because it isn't about him. And while you're out there, there's a lot of good groups out there. Find one, get involved, get informed. And you just make sure it's a group that has credentials. In other words, what I'm saying is has a history in working with this and their nose to the grindstone. We've got, of course, these actors out there that are basically wannabe celebrities. Kaz and I did a show here a week or so ago called Malignant Heroes and Wannabe Celebrities. We've got our fair share of those. And people more concerned about getting their face in front of the camera and their name in the paper than they are about ending this issue. And it occurs to us that many of them are actually bucking for a job in D.C. with the rest of the criminals. But anyway, that's just our thoughts. We will be back this week. Marcia Joyner will be back with Dr. Jane Orient for the show Betrayed by Hospice. We will be on Thursday night for Whistleblowers, that all providing the blog talk holds up, with Tom Mueller and talking. Thank you so much. Anyway, we got 90 seconds. Chris, Doug, and the other Chris, thank you so much for coming on this evening. And
thank
Chris,
you.
Updated. We'll be keeping in touch with you. Okay?
Thank you. Thanks for that, Marty. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your audience.
Yes. Thank you for your time. And we'll talk to y'all in a day or two. Thanks, everybody, and good night.
Take care.